I was just wondering, my dear brothers and sisters, that why is it that the parable, the story of the Good Samaritan, which each one of us were enamored to listen to, because very, very good, has been told almost 2,000 years ago by Jesus Christ. But the question is, why is there people today are clamoring, where is my neighbor? Where is the Good Samaritans? Where are you Christians? Why are there people who are hunger? Why are there people who are in need? In the micro, macro level, why are there nations who are asking for help from first world countries, rich countries? You know, in my analysis and in my reflection, my dear brothers and sisters, the question to this is our first reading. The admonition of Moses. People through the centuries didn't really heed the voice of God, didn't really act on his word, didn't really follow the commandment of God, which according to the book of Deuteronomy is written not only in the rock, but in the very hearts of people. It is etched in the heart of people. And what is that commandment of God? Simple, very, very simple. Love God and love your neighbor. So the book of Moses, or the book of Deuteronomy, which Moses wrote, challenges and admonishes each one of us. You don't need to go to far away places to look for that commandment of God, the word of God. It is etched in your heart. You only have to carry it on. You only have to realize it. Heed the voice of God. Heed the command of God. And hearing the commandment of God isn't only listening, but acting on it. Live it. That's why my proposition is, if Christians only live the commandment of God, then there will be no people who would ask, where are the good Samaritans nowadays? Saint Paul lead us to Jesus Christ, who was the Word of God. And for Saint Paul, Jesus is not just a spoken word, but the personal word of God the Father who took flesh, who became flesh. And it's so dynamic. Christ is the image. The first paragraph of St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. The image of the invisible God. Since God the Father is invisible, that means cannot be seen, so the second person took flesh so that we will be able to see that invisible God in Jesus Christ who took flesh like us, except that he did not sin. And according to Saint Paul, this word of God, Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, in him everything was created. Nothing in this world was created without Jesus Christ, the Word of the Father. And so he gives life. He sustains life, and that is creation. Not only creation, according to St. Paul, but even reconciliation. Jesus, the Word of God, does not only bring life. Jesus, the Word of God, in his body, when he took flesh, when he incarnated, he effected reconciliation with the Father. So look at that. This Word of God, which in him everything was created, in taking the human flesh, he effected reconciliation. We human beings would be reconciled with God our Father through the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in Him, peace will be enjoyed by people. There will be no peace without Jesus Christ. There will be no peace without having Him in our own lives. So the admonition and the challenge of St. Paul is for us Christians to be agents of life and to be agents of peace and reconciliation. Again, this is because of Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God incarnate. Now, the beautiful Gospel of St. Luke, the dialogue between Jesus and the expert of the law. And you know, being an expert of the law, you are knowledgeable. You cannot be given the title, a lawyer, expert of the law, without this. That means you are very knowledgeable. So his knowledge is diffusing in his own mind. And what was the real concern? I don't know if it is also the concern of a lot of people, Christians today. What is the concern? What is the main point in the dialogue between Jesus and the expert of the law? Children, are you still with me? It seems that you're not listening. I'll fail you. No, just kidding. What is the issue of concern? Eternal life. What must I do? Take note of the word that the expert of the law used. I do. Because he has already this. He knows everything about eternal life. But it seems lacking. What must I do to gain eternal life? Do we also have that concern in our life? Lord, in our meditation, what must I do to gain eternal life? Is my going to church every Sunday enough? Enough that I will gain eternal life? If I join this ministry, is it enough to gain eternal life? Have you asked that question? Oh, again, children, you're so silent. Anyway, better silent than discuss with me. No, kidding. I'm just kidding. What is the point of contention? Eternal life. What must I do? What did Jesus say? You know the commandments because you're an expert of the law. You've memorized it here only in the speculative level, in the intellectual level. You shall love the Lord your God, etc., etc. And it is synthesized in the commandment love of God and love of neighbor. And Jesus said, you know it. You know it as an expert of the law. You know it. Do it and you will live. Now, there is this problem. Since he is a lawyer, he wants a philosophical justification about the second commandment. You know, the first commandment is not actually problematic. It's not actually, an issue. But the second, neighbor. In those times, there was a discussion among philosophers about neighbor. Who is my neighbor and who is my non-neighbor? So to distinguish between who is my neighbor and who is my non-neighbor. And Jesus responded by telling the parable of the good Samaritan. Look at this. The priest, that's not Father Noel, and the Levite. You know, these people, the priest and the Levite, were all consumed with their worship. But their worship was rendered empty because there was no action. They're so concerned with their worship. In other words, the law says that you cannot touch a person who is half dead. What is the reason? You will become ritually unclean. And if you are ritually unclean, You cannot do your service like saying the Mass in the church. That is so, you know, tricky issue for the priest. That's why when he saw that person who is a victim there, he goes the opposite way. So do with the Levites. But look at the Samaritan. Remember in our reflection last Sunday, the Samaritans and the Jews are mortal enemies. They don't see eye to eye. They don't see eye to eye. There are a lot of religious, cultural, and even political reasons why they hate each other. But look at this. A Samaritan who would help a Jew who was a victim. And now Jesus, going back to the dialogue, asked the expert of the law, who is now a neighbor to that victim? And the expert of the law said, the one who showed him mercy. And what was the answer of Jesus? Then do likewise. Do it. Because you're not knowledgeable. Your knowledge will not lead you to eternal life. Your action will lead you to eternal life. And as I'm going back to my proposition a while ago, that Christians today are not like the Good Samaritan. We have so many things in this level, but we do not have things in this level. We lack action. We lack doing. And the reason why the world suffers today, it is because we are, or many of us, are indifferent. Though we profess to be Christian, we profess to be followers of the Lord, we lack one thing. And that is, class, again, you will not participate. Doing. Doing is the most important thing that would lead us to eternal life. I will not fail you, children.